The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Don't you appreciate our leaders tonight, our worship leaders tonight, Dan and his team tonight? Praise the Lord. We thank them. Pastor mentioned this morning, we are truly blessed. It doesn't really matter who's in that spot to lead us. We always have outstanding, really, leadership, as I said, into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I was listening the other day, in fact, on a pastor talking about his church. This was actually, his church was somewhere, you know, not in Oklahoma, but he was saying that, you know, he was talking to his congregation. He said, you know, we have age specific music in this church. In other words, for our children, we have children's age music. For our youth, we have youth age music. He said, but when we come in here in the main service, we expect you to be able to worship God no matter what the music. He said, all we're asking for is just to grow up a little and be able to worship God no matter what. I thought, that's awesome. You know, and it made me think, okay, Lord, no matter what, amen, it's not about, well, they didn't sing my favorite song, or they did sing my favorite song. It's, I'm here to worship the Lord no matter what, right? And so, hallelujah. How many of you know music is just a vehicle that drives a message? All kinds of different kind of cars to drive in there. All kinds of different types of music. All right, praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bible, open it up to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm happy tonight, Lord willing, I get to read two of my favorite scriptures here in Ephesians 1, and then we're going to read in Philemon 1 verse 6. Now, some of you have heard me say concerning Philemon that, you know, we may get to heaven and find out that his name is actually Philemon. Well, I was watching my son preach the other night in Brazil, and he opened up to Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, and the interpreter said Philemon. So there you go. See, I've just been tapping into my Portuguese language skills and thinking that might be his name. But all right. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, first of all, starting verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, a couple of thoughts here. Every Christian's faith ought to be famous. Okay. And so should our love. Paul had heard. He'd heard of their faith and heard of their love. Glory to God. And we ought to have our faith in the Lord Jesus and our love for all the saints. And I always notice also how many times, especially in the New Testament, faith and love are mentioned together. They work together. He says here, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now tonight, you know, this section of scripture, this prayer of the Apostle Paul, remember, this prayer can be prayed for yourself. You can put yourself in there, that the eyes of my understanding. You can put another person, that the eyes of George's understanding would be enlightened. You can pray this prayer for any Christian. Notice it says in verse 16, giving of thanks. Boy, I found it hard to gripe about somebody I'm thanking God for. You ever thought about that? You know, sometimes we get negative and get down on things, but, you know, I wonder, are we praying? Are we thanking God for them? All right. But then he says, there's three things here that he wants us to, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would get spirit and wisdom and revelation concerning. Number one, what is the hope of his calling? Number two, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And three, the exceeding greatness of his power, that resurrection power. And so tonight I want to talk about, number two, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, when you think of inheritance, you think of being an heir of someone, that someone has left you something. Let's look in Romans chapter 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. An inheritance. It's interesting that some of the words in the original text of the Greek language, I'm not a Greek scholar, cannot read it, but I can read after what scholars have said. And looking at especially Strong's Concordance and Thayer's book on Greek lexicon and what they said, that the word inheritance, it's interesting. It means to divide out. It means it's the same word that's used to cast a lot. In other words, to choose out ahead of time. But it means to leave apart to somebody. To leave apart. And so we're going to look at that in relationship. But and there's a couple other things there that we want to talk about. But here in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14, we'll start. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God, here we could say. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, how many of you here are born again tonight? So, you know, he just said, you have received what? Spirit of adoption, whereby you cry out what? Abba, Father. You have received that spirit. The spirit, the King James itself, how many of you know the spirit's not an it? Not like Casper the ghost, all right? So that's an it. This spirit is the third member of the Godhead, the divine personality. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If it so be we suffer with him that we may be also glorified together. And he talks about this present time compared to what's to come because we have inherited and because we are joint heirs. You can't even count this present time. If you're suffering now, it doesn't even compare to what's to come. All right. So, you know, he's saying that. But to be a joint heir with Christ and to have this inheritance, part of it is that then we enter into having full rights and full privileges in the family. That adoption gives us that. When we were adopted as the children of God, we were set there as full-grown children. Now, how many of you know we have to grow into things? We have to learn these things. Brother Hagin called it growing up spiritually. Not necessarily that your spirit has, but we have to grow in the things of God because we're new creatures in Christ. How many of you know that? Paul talked about being babes in Christ, didn't he? Why? We have to renew our mind. Okay, we've got to, it's a new way of living. This Christian life's a new way of living. It's not the way the world lives. And so we grow up into the things. We grow up, and you can call it growing up spiritually. You know, people want to argue about that. Well, does your spirit grow? You know, just grow up, okay? That's the main thing. Whether it's your spirit or whether it's your soul, everything working together, whatever it is, let's just all grow up. Okay, just tell your neighbor right now, just grow up, would you? I know some of you enjoyed that. Okay, now hopefully you've, husband didn't say that to your wife. This is Mother's Day. You can't tell your wife to grow up on Mother's Day. All right. Philemon chapter 1. Now, this inheritance, a lot of times, you know, we're looking for a natural inheritance is going to be made up of what? Natural things. Okay. How many of you have inherited something from somebody? Okay. You inherited a, you know, you might have inherited a family heirloom, you know, that was passed down to you or whatever the case might be. You inherit. It's something natural. But this kingdom, even though it does affect the natural, and it does operate in this realm, this is a spiritual kingdom we're part of. And this inheritance is primarily in the realm of the spirit. All right? And it's not so much, you know, that you inherit a piece of land or you inherited a, you know, I know that when, for instance, when Brother Bill's father went home, he got that nice car. That was a nice car. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was his because of his relationship to his father. Well, because our father is spirit, right? And we worship him. And what we have received is primarily a spiritual deposit, a spiritual inheritance. Now here in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, of course it's only one chapter, so just verse 6. He says here that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And so I think that's our starting place, is to look for our inheritance on the inside and the good things that have been deposited there because we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, we know we're going to receive a resurrected body, but it's not a natural body. It's a spiritual body, the Bible says. Again, coming from that realm of the spirit. And so what has happened on the inside of us, see? That's a part of that inheritance that I think we haven't really talked about because we tend to think naturally. All right? And so the Word of God, you know, we can't talk about all of it tonight. We just kind of introduced this, and, you know, a lot of times you're preaching. I used to get a kick out of people saying, well, they don't preach. That person doesn't preach the whole gospel. I've never heard anybody could preach the whole gospel in one sermon. Amen. I don't even know if Jesus preached the whole gospel in one sermon. He would talk. But I mean, think about it. Nobody can preach the whole Bible in one sermon. All right. Just kind of get you started here. But let's look over at Hebrews. I'm sorry, Acts, not Hebrews. Have to read your own writing. Lord, give me discernment on my own writing. Acts 20. When I said Hebrews, that didn't sound right. Because how many know there's not a 20th. If you can find Hebrews chapter 20 in your Bible, throw it away. Because there is no chapter 20. All right. Acts chapter 20. This inheritance, joint heirs with Christ. Now, how many of you realize sometimes an inheritance is given, and of course, in the times of the Bible, I'm reminded of the young man who came to his father. Father, give me that which belongs to me. Give me my inheritance. And it's in Luke 15. And the Bible says that the father divided to both his son their inheritance. Now, in that culture, the eldest son would get the greater inheritance. All right? And so he divided it to them. Well, in this, because we've been adopted, and the rules of adoption, even at that time, the reason they used that word was whoever was adopted was given eldest child, eldest son standing. That's why, because Jesus is the Son of God, we've been given joint heirship with him. Amen. We've been given eldest son standing, if you will. And so we have all the rights and privileges that he has. And that he has now as arisen, the first begotten from the dead. But we have to learn how to operate in that. And what we lack is the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to operate in that. Okay? How many of you know a child, if you give them something powerful, they can hurt themselves and hurt others with it? Okay? You think God doesn't know that? He's not going to give babes in Christ a full, let's just give them a whole load in their gun. Let's load them up as powerful as having it. No, you're not going to give a child that kind of gun, are you? Okay. Well, as we grow in the things of God and we grow in our inheritance, we learn how to partake of it and how to use it properly. We don't want to be like the prodigal son who wasted his, do we? Here in Acts 20, look at verse 32. And so here's the starting point. How do we partake of this inheritance? I believe this is our starting point. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What did Paul say here? What does he leave him? The word of God's grace. What is that? That's God's word, right? Now notice here, he says it is able. When we see that word able, that speaks of potential. It is able. In other words, it has the ability to do what? Number one, build us up. But then what's the second thing there? And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. How many of you know if you're born again, you're sanctified, right? He's talking here about this inheritance. Okay, now this was important to Paul. Look over at Acts 26. This was part of Paul's calling. This is one of the things Jesus said to him that's important for him. And, you know, about half the New Testament are letters of Paul. Even though if you went word for word, Luke wrote more of the New Testament than anybody. But about half the letters there, of course, when you look them out, is Paul's writing and Paul's teaching as God worked through him. Here in Acts 26, just jumping into this in verse 18, he said here, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power, the authority of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now let's say this, that's twice now. Twice he said here in chapter 20, verse 32, give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Here he said, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I wonder if Paul used that term sanctified because Jesus used it with him. What does it mean to be sanctified? That's something important. You know, people, old time Pentecostal testimony, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't know what that meant, but that's what, you know. What does it mean to be sanctified? Sanctified literally means just simply, exactly, to be set apart. All right? To be placed in a special place. All right? Now, in thinking of this, I like to think of it this way. We, as Christians, have been sanctified for divine purpose. What do we mean by that? God has a divine purpose for our lives. And we have been set apart. Set apart. How? Through faith. When we believed on Christ, we became sanctified. There is living a sanctified life where we're living a set apart life. Okay, that comes as we renew our mind. But immediately, as our position is in Christ, we are sanctified. It's part of the provisions of our salvation, sanctification, set apart. We've been, think of it this way, Paul, another place in said we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. See, sanctified, taken out and placed. All right. And sanctification, sanctified with God, is a protected place. It's a place of God's favor. Glory to God. We are sanctified. All right. How many of you, any of you have a, you know, wherever you have your, if you have any, if you carry cash with you anymore, but how many, do you have a place in your wallet or in your purse where you sanctify money every once in a while? You set it apart for a special purpose. You're not going to spend that money. It's, you know. Some people call it their hide money. All right? Everybody look like they have no idea what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying, right? Or you might set aside some money. It's set aside for a special purpose here. And so Jesus said to Paul that I want them to know you're going to, through your preaching, you're going to open their eyes. They're going to be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Glory to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, how do we get into this? We're saved by grace, what? Through faith. And so this sanctification that takes place, setting apart. But Paul had said that it's the word of God. He commends us to God and to the word of his grace. It's that word, the word of God, that has that ability to bring us into that place of inheritance. And again, this is first and foremost a spiritual inheritance. I believe that we'd get further along if we would major on what Brother Hagin used to call being God inside minded. In other words, God's in me. And being mindful of that, what's taking place on the inside of me, be mindful of that. He said, in Philemon said, by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Okay. Well, one of the things in me is sanctification. It's in me. Acknowledge. One of the things that because of that, I have an inheritance. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. What does that mean? I have rights and privileges. Okay. Now, look, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 then and back up to verse 7, I believe. A second aspect of our inheritance and something that is also someone that is also in us, we're going to see as a vital part of our inheritance. All right. Let's look here in Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom, speaking of in Christ, we have. Everybody say have. Now, is that past tense or present tense? It's not future, is it? It's past. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now notice, predestination comes into play if you're in him. In him, Romans 8 says, we're predestined to be conformed into his image. In other words, God has a plan for all of those in him. See, okay. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which or who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now here's the second aspect, I think, that are key to us walking in and understanding our inheritance. Number one, the word of God. Number two, the mighty Holy Spirit. Okay. Now here he says in verse 14 that he is the earnest. Now, if you haven't bought a house or something like that, you may not be familiar with that term, earnest. Other modern translations say that instead of earnest, down payment. Down payment. Okay. Now, first of all, just stop and think. Is a down payment the full price? No, but the down payment is a guarantee that you're gonna fulfill the contract. Right? That's the guarantee. It's the guarantee from the buyer to the seller that the money's coming. Full price is coming, right? It's the guarantee. Well, God had no better guarantee than the third member of the Godhead, the mighty Holy Ghost, and he's just the down payment of what is to come in our inheritance. Amen. My God. You think about that. The Holy Ghost. I mean, here around here in Winter Bible Seminar and Camp Meeting, we get so excited. The Holy Ghost, you know, gets on and people run and shout and jump and get all excited. And that's just down payment, Holy Ghost. Amen. It's just the beginning of our inheritance. Praise the Lord. Now, what do you mean? And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. A seal, meaning that places ownership. If in times past, if a king, you know, wanted to write a decree and have it sent out to make sure the decree was authentic, they'd put wax on it. He'd put his ring, you know, his insignia into that wax, which means this can only be opened by the king's representative, can only be read by the king's representative, and can only be opened in the presence of them to whom it has been sent. And God has sealed us. He says we belong to him. And we're only under the authority of his son, Jesus Christ. And we can only be opened by the mighty Holy Spirit. And we can only be opened by whom he has sent us to. Glory to God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And he is the down payment of our inheritance. Now there, you know, it's going to take all of eternity for us to experience the inheritance that we have because we're in Christ, because of what Christ has done. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Word of God and the mighty Holy Ghost, these two keys, as we spend time in the Word. Now, how many of you know the Word is inspired by the Holy Ghost? Right? I like to think of it this way. He said, Paul told Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then Peter said that the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, came to us as holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so all of the scriptures come at the inspiration of God, by the inspiration of the mighty Holy Ghost, who is God the Holy Ghost, comes by him. And he's, according to, you know, he's in us, right? Jesus said, you know him. And he said, he shall be in you. What's Romans 8:11 said? If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he's in me. The seal, the guarantee of my inheritance is in me. He's in you. Right? Praise the Lord. And so since we have that, then it puts us in a position of strength and should put us in a position of great faith. Amen? That our faith, he said, your faith in Philemon will become effectual, becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Amen? Now, it's not just a matter of us just saying it here at church. Are we living in the reality that the Holy Ghost is in us? And all that he brings when he comes. Right? How many of you know when he came, life came. When he came, love came. How the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How when he came, light came. When he came on in, everything that we'd ever need is in us. Acknowledging that. But it takes, we have to spend time in the Word of God. Now listen, I'm going to encourage you. You know, you've got to spend more than just coming to church. As great as Pastor Hagin's sermons are in the Word of God, and as great as Pastor Marvin, Pastor Bill, and Pastor Craig, and everybody, Denise, anybody else, Miss Hagin, anybody else around here that teaches, you cannot, and you can't even live off in Bible school. You've got to look at it for yourself. To partake of your inheritance, you've got to look at the Word of God for yourself. And then do what? Trust the Holy Spirit. Now here's what I was going to say. Thank God, I think of it this way. The one who inspired the word is in me, and he knows what it means. And he knows how I can apply it in my life. Now what do we read in Romans? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Every one of us, every child of God should be and has the privilege of being led by the Spirit of God. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, on the inside, we're not talking necessarily about this, you know, supernatural manifestation. You may have that, but we're talking about on the inside, that leading, that guiding. So what's he sound like? He sounds like the Word. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Don't ever, listen, if you think on the inside you're getting a leading that contradicts the Word of God, then double check. You might need to go find somebody and get some help with that. Ask somebody. Now, I tell the students here at Raymond, I said, look, don't go sideways when you need advice. Go someone that's been there before you. Got a little bit more experience. Amen? You know, that's why in athletics you have coaches. The T-ball kids don't go out and coach themselves. You don't see another T-ball kid giving hitting instructions to the rest of the T-ball team. All right? They don't even know how to, you know, you got to teach them how to hold the bat. How many of them bat cross-handed? And I still see them up there batting cross-handed in T-ball. Even when they're cross-handed. Well, what's wrong with that? That's wrong. Okay? That may work in T-ball, but it's not going to work past that. So you got to, you know. And that's what I think sometimes when we go and get advice from the wrong folks, we get cross-handed advice. Don't look at your neighbor right now. Just look straight ahead. All right? But this inheritance, we can walk in it. We can live in it. Now, go back to Ephesians 1, verse 18. And I find it interesting the way that, now we looked at it, that's our inheritance. But the way this is written, it's actually kind of written that God has an inheritance. Look at this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, I think in this, God's inheritance plays into this. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, how many of you know our new covenant is made between God the Son and Jesus, the Son of Man and the Son of God, and God the Father? Okay? And because neither one of them has ever failed, it's an everlasting covenant. But part of the agreement is, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he calls him the first begotten from the dead. First. Well, then if firstborn, other places say, when you got born again, you passed from what, death to life? Our number's in there somewhere. Now don't get all worried and try to figure out your number. Well, what number am I? You're joint heirs with Christ. It's as if you were first. But here's one of the things, that when God raised Jesus from the dead, and he said, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. He inherited all of us who had come through faith in his son as what? You are my son. you are my daughter. This day have I begotten you. You are God's inheritance. I know he didn't get a good deal, but according to him, it was a good deal. Because he could not find, there was not enough of anything all put together on this earth or in the universe. You couldn't put all the precious metals of the entire universe together to buy one person's life and redeem them. But God had something. God had something that he sent in his son, the sinless blood of the Lamb of God, shed from before the foundation of the world, shed on our behalf that we, through faith, might receive the remission of sins. And when that happened, God received his inheritance. And it's you. And it's you. Amen. What is the riches, the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Yes, we are to partake of an inheritance, but God has an inheritance also. And it's you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, Father, we just pray. Father, I pray that we would know. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope, the confident expectation of your divine summons on our life, and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. Oh, Father, we want to know, not just to know so that knowledge, we can have knowledge and be puffed up, but that we can know and apply it and live and be conformed to the image of your dear son, to be Jesus representative here in the earth, to walk like him, to talk like him, to minister like him. That we represent you totally as ambassadors, that we might know what is the exceeding greatness of your power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places. That power to usward who believe. Father, we thank you for it. We glorify you for it, Father. We have an inheritance. We're joint heirs with Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit to help us to know what we have and to walk in it and experience it every day of our life. Father, if we give you all the praise and all the glory for it, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you love God's word? Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Pastor Marvin, do we have first-time guests tonight? Our connection team, if you would help our first-time guests go to that place. Praise the Lord. Going to get you a special gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagan and the entire Rhema Bible Church family. Glory to God. Give them a hand clap as they're headed off to that place. Amen. Prayer team, you can go ahead and come on down. I'm sorry. Amen. If you came in for the first time and nobody talked to you, just... If you'll just kind of wave your hand right now, somebody will get to you right now. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, as we dismiss, gentlemen, come on down here and talk to the gentlemen, ladies to the ladies. These folks are trained to pray according to the word of God. Why? That's what gets results. How many of you know that's true? We pray according to the word, we get what the word says. And that's how they're going to pray with you, according to the word of God. Amen. All right, don't forget Wednesday night, hour of power. And then again, invitation, please. Come on out to the Mabee Center over at ORU and for our graduation. Be a blessing to on Friday night, 7 o'clock. Parking is free. Praise the Lord. Don't have to go downtown and park and pay. Don't have to fight the orange barrels to get there. Right? Road's closed anyway, Dad. I'm glad we're not going this way this year anyway. But go on over there, 81st and Lewis. Okay? And we'll have a great night of graduation and come celebrate with us. But we'll see you back on Wednesday night. Everything square. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Before you leave tonight, tell somebody, you look like somebody that has an inheritance. And you can be dismissed. Praise the Lord.